Hey, good morning to you. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show live from downtown Eureka here on South Central, just across the street from Chicken Ellie's restaurant, where they have already provided some fantastic breakfast sandwiches for us this morning.
Yum.
So we can brag a little bit. Kim was talking earlier during her segment, and they delivered the sandwiches, and suddenly I was completely distracted.
So, sorry. We're like, stay focused, stay focused.
Oh, I know.
Focus. Don't stare at the food.
Smell the bacon and the cheese, and it was just absolutely delicious. So we're down here today. Not only is it 9/11, but we are celebrating the Focus Marine Foundation, of course, which gives back to our veterans. And anything we can do to help them, we love to do. So I hope you can swing by. We are in downtown Eureka here on South Central. You can't miss us because the road is actually blocked off. You're going to have to park on one end of the street or the other and then hike up here and say hello, please, at some point during the show. We'd love to see you this morning. All of the talk, of course, has been focused on the debate last night. Everybody's reaction to it. I mean, I put out a Twitter poll early this morning, and not quite sure what the reaction might be to that, but it has been tremendous. And so far, it was a simple question. Who do you think won the debate? Very unscientific, obviously. And we've had a lot of, we've still got 2.5 hours left. You can still vote. Just go to the Mark Cox 971 on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. And to date, I've got Trump at 53%, Harris at 30%, and ABC News at 17%. So what do you think?
Well, I just, to me, it was tighter than that. I wish I could have walked away from that last night saying Trump was the clear winner, but I just don't feel that way.
Well, but between Harris and ABC, that's 47 to 53.
Well, but so you have to remember, Kamala Harris and ABC were on the same team.
It sure seemed like it, didn't it? It definitely seemed like that to all of us who were there watching it at the debate watch party at Dave and Buster's last night. Thanks to all of you who showed up for that. It was a packed house and a lot of great times talking to people about what's going on in the world, and oohs and ahs and boos and cheers during the debate. I mean, it was fun.
When he said something along the lines of, "Hold, I'm talking right now," that got a big applause.
Well, she was, although her mic was clipped part of the time, she did interrupt him a few times. I mean, there was no doubt about that. And her facial expressions, he's staring straight ahead. She's laughing and making all these facial expressions on the other side. I'm sure some of that was intentional to try to get under his skin, and he just ignored her.
I like how she walked up at the beginning of the debate as they're going up to the podium, and she shakes his hand and says, "Kamala Harris."
Yeah. It was, I'm sure, coached to do that, to kind of be on the offensive, right, instead of him getting a chance to come over to where she was.
I felt like it was a power move that he stayed at the podium.
Very much so.
Yeah.
I think so. Ethan, let's go to cut eight. One of, I thought, Trump's stronger points last night on illegal immigration.
You look at Aurora in Colorado. They are taking over the towns. They're taking over buildings. They're going in violently. These are the people that she and Biden led into our country, and they're destroying our country. They're dangerous. They're at the highest level of criminality, and we have to get them out. We have to get them out fast.
Yeah, everyone is aware of that. And, Kamala Harris didn't have a good answer for it. I don't know if he distracted people or not when he brought up the pet story. It has been trending on Twitter this morning. One of my favorite memes was a picture of a cat with a MAGA hat on and an AR-15.
But how odd was it that Trump makes that comment, which is funny because you and I discussed this the other day, but then Muir has to correct him.
Yeah, it's right. And there wasn't nearly enough fact-checking on the other side. Right now, I want to get to our guest. Tommy Pickett is joining us with the RNC Strategic Communications Director. And Tommy, thank you for giving me some time this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So let's get your immediate reaction to the debate last night.
Well, I thought President Trump was the clear winner, and I think it's because of the contrast he was able to put forward. And you just mentioned one area that Kamala Harris didn't answer. I think two more areas she didn't answer, which I think were the main takeaways, were, one, for all of her promises that she's made, why hasn't she done it for the last 3.5 years? And the second is, if you actually look at her record, she's done the opposite of what she's promising. She was asked a pretty direct question early on in the debate. Can you say people are better off economically than they were 4 years ago? And she didn't answer the question. She didn't say yes, even though she's been the main architect of this inflationary spending. She was the tie-breaking vote, and she can't say yes to whether or not people are better off. And I think ultimately that's what this election comes down to, and I think that's what the debate came down to, that she can't defend her record, and she can't explain for all of her promises why she hasn't done it the last 3.5 years.
I feel like Kamala did a little bit better than I was quite frankly hoping or anticipated leading up to yesterday. There were a couple instances I noticed where she baited him, and I even felt like the moderators baited Trump at times. And I hate to say it, but I think he kind of fed right into it. What do you think?
Well, President Trump is a fighter, and I think he showed that yesterday. He showed that by basically taking on the moderators and Kamala Harris, a debate that was 3-1. And I still think that he came out ahead because he came out fighting. He came out with that vision. He laid out his plan, for example, to cut taxes for working Americans, to secure the border. He accurately described how under his administration we had peace through strength, and under Kamala Harris we're on the brink of World War III. He explained how he'd get back to that peace through strength philosophy, that goal which he had under his administration we desperately need back. So he's a fighter. He showed that yesterday, and I think the bias of the moderators came through clear as day, and the American people are smart. They see that bias. They see it was 3-1. And I think they're going to appreciate that President Trump was fighting for what he believed in, fighting to get his message out there.
Yeah. Tommy Pickett with us from the RNC. I'm glad you brought up the moderator issue. Again, they repeatedly, particularly David Muir, would stop Donald Trump and try to correct him if he thought he said something that was an error. I don't remember them doing that with Vice President Harris. I don't even, in my memory, remember them doing it once, particularly when she said flat-out lies about the fact that police officers were killed on January 6th. Some of the other lies she spewed, where was ABC on that? They just didn't call her out on it.
Yeah, we went back and checked, and there wasn't a single time that they actually fact-checked Kamala Harris. And there were flat-out lies she was saying, like you said. When she said that President Trump wants to ban IVF, that's not true. She said that President Trump wants to sign a national abortion ban, that's not true. She said that President Trump's agenda is Project 2025. That's not true. You can see President Trump's real agenda on his website. It's not a secret. He talks about it continually. The Democrats know they can't run on the truth, so they're lying about things. They know they can't run against President Trump's agenda, so they're lying about it. And they know they can't run on their own agenda, so they're also lying about that. And some of the other things that the moderator said were also flat out wrong. For example, on crime, trying to fact check Donald Trump on crime. Well, Donald Trump was exactly right. Much of the data that Kamala Harris is citing does not include major cities like New York, yeah, like New Orleans, yeah, like San Francisco. So President Trump was exactly right. So they tried to fact check him on that, and they were wrong. So that, not only was there that bias of not fact checking Kamala Harris on clear lies she was saying, there also were times that they were just wrong about what they were saying.
The Harris campaign has already come out and said that they'd be open to a debate in October. Trump really wouldn't say one way or the other if he would agree to that. What do you think? Would that be wise for him to go ahead and debate her again?
Well, I'm going to take my cues from President Trump on that one. But I think ultimately President Trump challenged Kamala Harris to 3 debates, and Kamala Harris did not accept those other debates. Kamala Harris refused to do a debate on Fox News because she was afraid to. And I think, as President Trump said yesterday, the reason why they want another debate is I think they understand that they did not get across what they needed to get across. They understand that they did not make a compelling case to the American people. They understand that ultimately they didn't defend her record or explain why she didn't fulfill any of the things that she's saying in the last 3.5 years that she's been in office. So I think President Trump was spot on to say the reason why they want that additional debate is because they know that they didn't win this one.
Yeah, interesting. Tommy Pickett, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Yep, absolutely. RNC, a strategic comms director there, with his explanation of what he thinks happened in the debate last night. I warned people about the fact that you would see a more polished Kamala Harris. If you are among the crowd this morning that somehow has some new concern over this election because of her performance last night, I don't think it moved the needle for the people in the middle of the road, because she came up with no new policy
But she spoke to the emotion of people, and I think I hate to say it, but there's so many voters who were uneducated. They don't even care about the policies. They don't know what policies they even support. They want somebody who they could go get a drink with, or who they think would be fun to hang out with. And I noticed how many times Kamala Harris would speak directly to the people listening, your family, you, and those facial expressions she had. I think that was very intentional, and I think that worked to her benefit.
Boy, I hope you're wrong.
I really hope I'm wrong, too.
All right. We're going to get to a quick break here. We're going to be back live in downtown Eureka. We got a check of business for you coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk to the Eureka Chief of Police here. The City Marshal, Mike Wiegand, is going to join us in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
Follow Mark on Twitter at MarkCox971.
Welcome back as we continue our live broadcast in downtown Eureka. Kim just asked if we could be live down here every morning because of, what is it, Sarah's
Cake Shop.
Cake Shop just opened, and they offered us sweet rolls.
But we've been spoiled already with delicious food from Chicken Ellie's and donuts and coffee.
So nice. We got Chief Mike Wiegand here with us from, of course, the Eureka Police Department. And how are you, Chief?
I'm great. Thank you for asking.
Well, thank you for helping set all this up and providing the security, because I feel very secure.
I just brought the donuts and coffee. That's what we do.
You did bring coffee earlier. We do appreciate that. You know, on a serious note, I mean, it is 9/11. And, you know, we want to pause and remember the people who were victims of that, many of them first responders putting their own lives on the line that day. Chief Brown told me earlier a couple of his firefighters who were here were among those who responded with the Missouri Task Force after 9/11 to New York to help with the cleanup. So this has got to, this anniversary has to hit close to home for all of you.
You know, it's hard to believe it's 23 years already. And I was just thinking while we were talking about that earlier, Chief Brown and I, at about 9:05 a.m., I was sitting at my desk in the office, and our clerks, we have a TV going all the time so we can see breaking news and things. You got to come out here. You got to come out here and see this. You know, what?
Right.
You know, and you go see the plane actually come in to the building in the World Trade Center, and I had just visited that a few months before.
Wow.
On a family vacation, and it was, it's surreal.
Yeah.
It's, you can't believe that you're seeing this. And then the second plane hits, and it's unbelievable. But, you know, unbelievable throughout the whole United States, because what happened immediately after that impacted everything. Our gas stations started just loading up with people coming to the pumps because they thought gas was going to die. And all the rumors that started going on immediately, it was an incredible amount of chaos throughout the whole city here, but throughout every state in the country. You remember those days?
Oh, yeah.
It was horrible. We had gas lines through this gas station over here, all the way up the road to Highway 109, all the stations. People were actually screaming at each other because you didn't know what side your filler cap was on.
No.
People would pull into the gas station after waiting 15 or 20 minutes to get gas. Everybody's afraid it was going to run out of gas. The tanks were going to go empty, screaming at people because your filler's over here, they pulled over here.
Wow.
You know, it was chaos. We had police at every gas station that day.
Wow.
That's just one of the local things that happened.
I just think about how many changes have been in place since then. Like, I remember as a kid, you know, you'd go walk right up to the gate. If my dad was traveling for work, and it's like, you know, I was young when 9/11 happened. I was in sixth grade, but that's still something that is really striking to me, you know.
Yeah.
How different it is now.
Yeah. Washington D.C. lockdown. You can't walk into any building anymore at Washington D.C. I was at the FBI Academy in 1998, and we could go into any building we wanted to on the weekends when we were out of the academy, and now, not even the police. You know, you have to.
Well, we appreciate your years of service down here. And
thank you.
I know that is drawing to a close. Is that correct?
April of 25.
Oh, my last,
congratulations.
Yeah. Mike Gorgeous is going to run for my office. We're elected officials. I'm still a city marshal here, and we're going to keep that for the next couple of years.
And right before you leave, you're going to open up your brand new facility, right?
We are. Hopefully, we're going to get you guys out there to broadcast live from there. It's my hope and intent that you'll come out to visit us again, and we'll, you know, serve you coffee and donuts.
We're there. You know we're there. I'm there.
Things,
whether these two guys go, I don't know, but I'll be there.
We sure appreciate everything you guys do for us and the whole community of St. Louis area, because you've been great to all of us, and really fair and honest.
And well, thank you for that. And you get such great support from the police officers support fund. And we're going to get Chuck Mayer on here a little later to talk about that. So, Chief Wiegand, thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
We appreciate your support. We're going to be back here live in downtown Eureka coming up in just a couple of minutes. Stop by and see us if you're out and about. We would love to see you this morning. We're going to be here till 9 a.m. Coming up in the next hour, we are going to get to the other big news of the day yesterday, and that was that court ruling, the Missouri Supreme Court, ruling that Amendment 3, the abortion initiative petition, will remain on the ballot. We're going to get the Secretary of State on here a few minutes after 7, and we're going to talk to him and get his reaction to that. They tried to hold him in contempt of court over it. The Supreme Court decided not to do that, but I still want to get his insight on how this all went down. We'll get to that at about 7:08. Live in downtown Eureka, you're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. We'll be back in just a minute.
Find everything Mark Cox at 971talk.com/Cox.
Live in beautiful downtown Eureka this morning. The sun is up, basically. It's daylight now. We can at least say that. We can see the beautiful Welcome to Eureka sign down here on South Central, across from Chicken Alley's. We saw Sarah's Cakes shop down here just opened up, and we're excited about that because we might get some treats here in a minute. And I'm sure the other stores are going to start opening as we continue along. I see a coffee shop up the street here. Just a beautiful area. If you've never been down here, what a better excuse do you need than to come down and say hello to us? This morning, we're going to be live here until 9 o'clock, and we're going to be helping out the Focus Marine Foundation raise a little bit of money. You can go to their website if you can't make it down here. That is focusmarines.org, and there's a little donate button right on the top, and it'll tell you a little bit more about what they do, but they change lives. It's what they do, and it's fantastic. They help our members of the military from all branches who are transferring back into civilian life. And I love that they do that, and we're happy that we can help out a little bit this morning. Time for us to check in on business right now, though. Right, Ethan? Nicole Murray, I wish you could be here because, unfortunately, we've had to eat hot breakfast sandwiches already this morning. About to get some sweets from the bakery down the street. And
hot coffee and donuts.
Yeah, it's been tough.
Oh, has it? Has it there?
Thoughts and prayers for us, Nicole.
Yeah, please.
I feel so sorry for you.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. You know, I was noticing yesterday that the market was... Was it down 300 points one day or something and back up again yesterday? I mean, things are just erratic right now.
Things are going up and down. And as we get closer and closer to the Fed's meeting, I think people are getting nervous because we're not really sure what to expect. There's talk of an interest rate cut, but there's reports coming out today and tomorrow that will more likely determine by how much. So I think a lot of people are just on edge because of it.
Good. All right. What else is going on?
All right. So futures are slightly lower ahead of today's inflation data. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 92, the Nasdaq gained 141, and the S&P 500 up 24. Filed bankruptcy documents show that local brewer Urban Chestnut Brewing Company owes more than $4 million in loans. The brewery announced last week it would file for Chapter 11 protection to reorganize its finances. David Wolf, a co-founder of Urban Chestnut, said in a statement that the company will be working with an investment partner, Brian Travers, during the bankruptcy process. Local restaurant chain Mission Taco Joint have announced a new name, Session Taco, after an almost year-long trademark fight with a national tortilla manufacturer. The name change was part of the settlement struck in November with Texas-based Mission Foods. Mission Foods' trademark was pretty rock solid, and fighting it would have probably ended the chain. That is according to Mission Taco co-founder Adam Tilford. However, Tilford added that they will be using the name change as an opportunity to refresh the menu and rebrand. An upscale darts venue and restaurant is slated to open its first St. Louis area location early next month. Flight Club, which takes inspiration from British pubs, will take over the space formerly occupied by Cantina Laredo in the Centene Plaza. The darts venue will occupy 6,300 square feet of indoor and outdoor space. Sony has announced the PlayStation 5 Pro, an upgraded version of its gaming console that will launch on November 7th for $700. The PS5 Pro features larger storage than its predecessor, faster rendering, and AI-driven upscaling to improve graphics. The arrival of Sony's refreshed PS5 console comes amid a global decline in console sales. A recall on apple juice due to potential harmful levels of arsenic has expanded. Last month, the FDA issued an advisory of great value 100% apple juice sold at Walmart. That warning now applies to Nice 100% apple juice and Clover Valley 100% apple juice. The faulty juices were sold at Aldi, BJ's Wholesale, Walgreens, and more. Should we follow suit? Australia has announced its plans to introduce a minimum age for social media access to address concerns about children's mental and physical health. No official age requirement has been declared. However, officials have said it will likely fall between 14 and 16 years old.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of support that. A social media age where they're required to be, you said 14 to 16 or something like that, but they haven't come up with a final number.
Yeah, that's where they're predicting it's going to fall. But nothing, like I said, nothing official has come out. Where I wouldn't be surprised if they even went as low as 12 or 13 years old, personally.
I mean, I wonder what the average age is these days for a child to get social media. And I don't even know what, like Snapchat I know is popular. Like apparently Facebook is not cool anymore unless you're older. Like Gen Z, I've heard, it's Instagram, it's Snapchat. I don't even know the names of probably Insta, yeah.
I did not get a cell phone, social media or not, until I was at least 13 years old. I had been asking for years, and my mom was like, what do you need it for? Like, put the phone down and go outside.
Yeah.
I think the phone was first and the social media second for our kids. If I remember, but we were very specific on it and didn't like Insta initially because whatever they did disappeared immediately, right? Like, you couldn't go back and see what they were posting.
But that's Snapchat.
Snap, not Insta.
Snap. Right. Snap
I don't even know what the hell
Insta.
I'm talking
we're,
about.
We're making sure we keep Mark cool.
Right. But the point is, if the parents don't understand it, then the kids can get away with a lot more, and I think they do.
Well, that's the difference with the cell phones these days. My cell phone, when I first got one when I was, I don't know, maybe like 12, it had like Snake, and that was about it, and T9 texting. Now you have access to the internet. You have all these crazy apps, like you said, Insta, Snapchat, or as you called it, Snap.
Well, if it's Insta, isn't it Snap?
No. Totally different. No.
I have to snap.
I get what you're saying, but no.
Mark, you're trying so hard.
As you can tell, I've never had... I have an Instagram account. I don't check it very often. Can I just mention
what?
That? I know you're shocked by
yes.
that.
Yes.
But my kid checks it, so I had to change my profile picture because I had a picture of Homer Simpson on there as my profile, and she didn't like it, so
you
I had to change it.
You don't take pictures of all your food before you eat and post it?
Oddly enough, I do not.
Thank you
Thank
for that.
Goodness. Appreciate you so
will,
much more.
We will
that.
Take a picture of our breakfast sandwich and send it to you if you'd like, Nicole.
I mean, I guess so.
All right. Hey, have a great day. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Thanks so much, guys. Good luck with your fundraiser.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Nicole Murray with us this morning with Check of Business.
Phones
Go ahead
have
and
really,
make fun of me. Go
phones
ahead. That's
have
okay.
really changed.
Apparently, I can't keep up with the technology.
Well, you throw out the terms. That's semi-impressive. It's just the wrong ones for the wrong thing.
It does look to me like we've managed to get part of the stream back up here. Kim, if you got the link, we might be able to get everyone up here on Facebook again. Had a few problems this morning. Thought maybe I'd been booted off, but apparently that's not the case.
Oh, Mark.
Will you look at this stuff from Sarah's?
We need to address this.
What's that now?
Look at
Sarah's cake shop. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
Fresh.
Cinnamon rolls.
Cake pops.
Look at those cake pops.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
right you are awesome. Thank you.
South Thank you
Central
so much.
Thank you, Chiefs.
In Eureka, if you come down here this morning, you too can try that because that looks delicious. Thanks to all the folks. Fine folks from Red Door right down the street here. Of course, it's a liquor store, and they knew Mark was coming to town. So they have also gifted me with a nice bottle of Ben Holiday.
Of course.
Isn't that nice?
Uh-huh.
Maybe a little early to start drinking at 6:45, but at some point this morning, we might just have to have a sample of that one. I'll get Charlie over there to help me with that for sure.
I'm not clear on this. You do or don't like bourbon?
Yeah, I'm not either.
I'm okay with it.
You've not really made that clear.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I get along with that pretty well, actually. All right. Looks like we have the stream up on Facebook now. If you're on there, we appreciate that. We've been on X Live all morning. Of course, you can listen on the Odyssey app, and you can download the podcast later. So we hope you'll check that out for sure. Coming up, we're going to talk more about the Focus Marine Foundation and all the great work that they do. We're looking forward to that. We're going to talk to Cody Sargent a little bit later as well about the debate last night and get his take on it. He's a senior advisor at the Heritage Foundation. Do you know what they did at the Heritage Foundation? They put out something called Project 2025.
Really? I've never heard of it.
Which Donald Trump's been blamed for during the debate last night. So we'll talk to Cody Sargent about that at about 7:20 this morning. Coming up in just a couple minutes, we'll get to In Other News as well. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show live in downtown Eureka. We'll be right back.
St. Louis is home for conservative talk.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In Other News.
Well, actor and singer Tyrese Gibson has been arrested for failure to make child support payments. A Georgia judge found the Fast and Furious star didn't pay $73,000 in child support.
Come on.
Judge says, hey, you know what? You can avoid jail time if you're willing to pay it within 48 hours. He's already been released, but he did post to his Instagram that getting arrested was very traumatic.
Was it? Maybe you could just pay that.
You know, it was traumatic when the mom didn't have the money coming in that he was supposed to pay.
Yeah, traumatic for the kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
For
yeah.
sure. Wow.
My gosh.
The $73,000 the mom didn't have.
This is like a drop in the bucket for him. If he does not pay that amount of money in 48 hours, I have absolutely zero sympathy for him. Yeah, I feel the same way, Sue. All right, Mark, I know you're not a fan of New Hampshire Governor Kristen Nunez, but there's video.
Rhino alert.
There's video going around showing him doing the Heimlich maneuver on a guy who started choking during a lobster roll eating competition. That is the most New Hampshire thing ever.
A lobster.
This guy's on stage trying to signal that he can't breathe because the whole contest is just continuing to go on. No one really picks up on the fact that the guy's choking, and then all of a sudden, Sununu comes out from, I guess, but he was backstage and just starts doing the Heimlich, gets the food dislodged. The guy goes on to eat seven more rolls.
Yeah, that was the funny part. The guy, he gets it out. The guy's like, okay, well, let's continue eating. Stuffed down seven more.
He didn't win, though.
And then somebody came up to him and said, it's not every day you get saved by the governor. He had no idea the guy that saved him was the governor of the state.
Yeah, they took a really funny picture together, kind of recreating that moment.
I'll bet.
All right, park rangers at Carlsbad Cavern National Park in New Mexico are warning about the supposed huge impact that was created when a park visitor recently dropped a bag of Cheetos. They posted on Facebook saying that basically because they dropped the Cheetos, it caused all sorts of issues, that it affected the cave and it created the perfect environment to host microbial life and fungus. The rangers said they had to spend 20 minutes trying to remove the mold from inside the cave.
Good Lord.
So they're saying you cannot go in these caves and have anything but water.
Like, hello?
Yeah.
Why are you taking a bag of Cheetos in there? Come on.
Oh, it can't be that damaging though, right?
They're pretty upset about
There's mold, Mark. It's created a spore nightmare.
What a gross word.
It's outdoor.
Microbial and fungus. Two of my least favorite words.
Yeah, it's a risk.
All right, this is just so unfortunate. You obviously had the Paralympics that just ended in Paris, and there's this Paralympic marathon runner, Elena Congost, hopefully I'm saying her name correctly, visually impaired, just qualified 10 yards from the finish line and the final day of the games and ended up losing a bronze medal. What happened was the Spanish athlete, I guess, briefly let go of this rope that's connected to her and her runner. The guide runner stumbled because of a cramp right near the finish line. And according to the rules, the athletes with visual impairments like she has, they have to be tethered to their guide runner the entire race with this little short rope. So because her guide runner cramped up and tripped, she then lost
the
bronze medal.
She got disqualified.
Man,
that is awful.
But there's got to be a reason for that rule. That sounds...
What are people cutting loose?
I don't know.
That just sounds odd.
It's not like you're going somewhere if you're sight impaired.
I don't know.
That's silly.
I don't know. I feel bad for her.
Yeah.
All right. Actress and singer Selena Gomez is now a billionaire. The 32-year-old estimated to be worth $1.3 billion, making her rather one of the country's youngest women with a 10-figure fortune. She got her start on Disney. She's most recently known for her role in that show Only Murders in the Building.
You know I love Only Murders
in
the Building.
I do like that show.
I remember you talking
about it. It's gorgeous. It's beautifully shot. And it's well acted, but yeah, she's terrific in that. But isn't it her business that got her all that
money?
She
has like a makeup line or something like that, but she's also a singer. She had a song that was really successful recently called, I want to say, Calm Down.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right.
How old is she?
She's 32.
A billionaire.
Yeah. Taylor Swift,
like Kardashian,
Selena Gomez.
Isn't there a Kardashian who did that? Didn't one of the Kardashians, isn't she a billionaire?
Kylie did.
Yeah, probably. I don't
Kardashian.
Know if she did anything.
Wow.
She had her show, I guess, and that
yeah,
made her a billionaire.
I guess. All right, coming up, we'll get to Missouri Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft on that Amendment 3 decision by the Missouri Supreme Court. Stay tuned.